I got to run.
Oh, man, I'm telling you. I'll, you know what, Tim? Take them home. Let them run all over your area. Oh, we're out.
That probably wouldn't do it, but...
Hey, when we were kids, we had a lot of fun up there.
True. Okay. What does humanity desire the most? Freedom. Everybody wants freedom to do what they want to do when they want to do it. So where does true freedom come from? It only comes when we allow God through His truth to set us free. So that means true freedom starts, a lot of people might say it starts with the salvation, which is part of it, but true freedom starts with the Word of God, because that's where our salvation comes from. And through this, then, we accept the saving grace of Jesus Christ, and then we are set free from the bondage of sin. That's when we realize what true freedom is. Now, once we're saved, we can continue, or should continue, to experience this freedom in Christ, but we only do it as we allow God to sanctify us, to position us in His righteousness. And this can only come through wisdom, through knowledge, through understanding of what God's Word is all about. So is there times that as Christians we don't feel that we're experiencing the true freedom of God? Sure there is, because we allow the sinfulness of this world to enslave us once again, so to speak, within that bondage. So we've got to learn to practice the truth of God's Word. In order to practice the truth of God's Word, we've got to learn to walk in the light of the truth of God's Word. And we only do this by becoming obedient to the truth of God's Word. In the 17th chapter of John, I'll read this verse real quick. In the 17th chapter of John, here's what Christ Himself said. He said, sanctify them. This was a prayer. He was praying to God, and he asked God. He said, sanctify them through the truth. And the way that they do that, He said, thy word is the truth. This is how in our life today as believers, this is how we're sanctified in our life in Christ. It's through the truth of God's word. So we are separated from the world. That means the world that does not believe anymore. We're separated from that when we are united with God through the truth of His Word. So this is why it's so important that the Bible talks about how much we should study, how much we should meditate, the things that we should be doing in our life. When things are going on in our life, instead of turning on the TV to watch more depressing news, instead of turning to your neighbor to hear more depressing things that are going on in the community, we're to pick up the truth of God's Word. This is how we separate ourselves from the world that does not believe. So the more we come to God through His Word, the more He's going to be able to transform us into the image and the likeness of His Son. So God's Word helps us to open up our heart to Him. That means as we pray through the guidance of the Spirit that dwells within us, this is the place where we meet God. And we should be meeting God every day. And we should be meeting Him every moment of every day, because this is how we get through the struggles of our life, the things that are going on in our everyday life. So God is truth, and it's our salvation that helps us to realize that. So that means all that that Christ is, everything that is recorded about Christ, it's contained in the Word of God. So if you want to know more about God, if you want to know more about Christ, then you study the Word of God. And as we begin to study the Word of God, this gives us the wisdom and the knowledge that God wants us to have. And once we begin to retain that wisdom and knowledge, then God can give us some understanding of what that is all about. But it's hard just to pick up, you know, some people, I've heard people say, well, every morning I pick my Bible up, put it down on the table, it opens up, I put my finger on a verse and I read that, and that's what God has for me for today. I'm telling you, you couldn't be more wrong. Now, you might find a scripture that way, and you might get something out of that scripture, but God wants us to, you know, He might lead us to a scripture daily, and this might go on for months, and you might be saying, Lord, why is it that you're bringing me here all the time? And it's because He's trying to teach us. He's trying to show us what the truth of His Word is all about. So it's when we read, it's when we meditate, it's when we begin to trust in Him that we can begin to understand the completeness of what His work in our life is all about. Sadly, we rarely understand the completeness of what God wants us to see as we go through our life here upon this earth. So in the book of John chapter 8, this is where we want to start this morning. In the book of John chapter 8, we're going to start with two verses. Verses 31 and 32. And here's what He says. Then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on Him, and here's what He said, if you continue in My Word, that's the first thing He said. If you continue in My Word. How important is it to continue in the Word of God? It's very important to our spiritual growth in our life. So He says, if you continue in My Word, He says, then are ye My disciples indeed. Then I know you're studying, you're willing, you're desire, all of these things. He said, and He says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So what does that tell you about people that doesn't like to study, doesn't want to study, doesn't really, they only want to pick out certain verses or scripture in the Bible and portray it to their life. It's because He says, you shall know the truth shall set you free. A lot of times we don't want to know the truth because we don't want to be set free from whatever habit or desire it is we have going on in our life. We just don't want, you know, I've heard so many people say, I'll come to church, and first of all, you don't have to go to church to get saved. So let's put that's strike number one. I'll come to church and get saved. No, you don't have to be in church to get saved. When I give up these desires that I don't want nothing to do with anymore, that's strike number two. Because you can't give them up without the Lord. You can't have that freedom without God. So this is one of the things that we've got to learn in our life. If you want to know the truth, and you want the truth to set you free, then He says you've got to be in the Word of God. That you would never be saved without the Word of God. Never. Because it's the Word of God that brings that truth to you about your salvation. So one of the first things that we've got to realize or to understand is when we fall prey to temptation, so when we're not reading the Word, when we're not studying the Word, when we're not meditating on the Word, all these Satan's throwing all these little things at us. And we all have what we call bad days. We shouldn't have bad days. We should have all our days should be good days in the Lord. But we all have what we would call bad days. And it's because when we fall prey to these temptations, this sinfulness of this temptation, it corrupts our thinking. Now, when it begins to corrupt your thinking, when we don't bring our thinking under submission, the Bible says, unto the power of the Holy Spirit. So when it begins to corrupt our thinking, then it begins to control our actions. So that means whatever you're thinking, that's what comes out. And we've seen that lots and lots of times within ourselves. And usually after it comes out, and some of the times when it's coming out, we're trying to catch it and bring it back in, but it's too late. It done got out. So it comes out. And when this happens, now it begins to destroy whatever peace of mind we had in the Lord. That's gone now. So now my day, my thinking's all off. Things have come out that I didn't want to come out. My peace of mind is gone. Now my day, it's shot, so to speak. But this is what, it separates us from God. Now, do we have to allow it to continue to separate us from God? No, we don't. But if it does continue to separate us from God, then for those who they never become part of a relationship with God, then for those people, the condemnation and wrath of hell is going to haunt them in for all eternity. Now, for the Christian, the more that we're separated from God, the condemnation and wrath of God is going to be part of the consequences. And there's going to be times in your life as a Christian that you think that you're going through hell here on earth. And that's because we've allowed ourselves to be separated in our relationship with God. And this all started because when the Holy Spirit said, leave that stuff alone, pick up the Word of Truth and begin to study it, we said, we don't have time. We just don't have time. So therefore, this started this whole thing in our life. And now we feel like we're just going through so many things in our life that we can't overcome it. So that means that there are people, Christian people, believers, who are born again, but they do not choose to abide in the truth of God's Word. Now, if you would tell them that, they would say, oh, my choice is to abide in the truth of God's Word. So my question would be then, are you abiding in the truth of God's Word? No. God didn't choose for you not to abide in His Word. It had to be your choice. It has to be my choice not to stay within the realm of the truth of God's Word. And the only way that that's going to happen is not by people say, well, I listen to so-and-so preach on the radio all the time or on the TV all the time, and that's how I stay in the truth of God's Word. Not happening. All you're getting is somebody else's opinion. We need the truth of God's Word because we need God to speak to us personally. Now, you might hear some things through ministry and different things that God enlightens you about in that is according to the truth of His Word, but that doesn't mean that God doesn't want you to take that and find out exactly where He's at in that. He wants you to be with Him, not with Him through somebody else. He wants my relationship with God does not hinge on my relationship with any of you. Your relationship with God doesn't hinge on your relationship with me. Your relationship with God is a relationship with God. And that's what we've got to learn in our life. So in the book of 1 John, here's what he says. 1 John chapter 5, verse 20. He says, and we know that the Son of God is come, meaning we understand Christ came, He was born upon this earth, He was crucified, resurrected, He and hath given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true. We are in Him that is true, even in His Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God, and this is what our eternal life is all about. Is having that meaningful relationship with a true God. So that means God offers this to who? Everybody. There is no one that is not offered this in their lifetime here upon this earth. If God wasn't going to offer it to you, you wouldn't have been born. So everybody is offered this. And what He offers is He offers spiritual freedom, which that's what we're all looking for, is freedom. He offers spiritual freedom, and this spiritual freedom that He offers it so that we might be free from the bondage of the sin that we are born into on this earth. We inherited that from Adam. Everybody's born into it. So this is what He offered. So this means that when we're saved, And a lot of times we probably don't like this, but when we're saved, then God releases us from our own Not somebody else's, not just because you were born into it, but God releases us from our own sinful lifestyle. The lifestyle that we chose. Now, and people say, well, I didn't choose it, I was born into it, so therefore that's why I haven't. No, you still chose it. That's not an excuse. When you stand before God one of these days and say, Lord, you should forgive me now because I inherited that from Adam, I was born in, and He's going to say, that's not an excuse because you chose to live that sinful lifestyle. He said, I gave you a way to come out of that or away from that. You chose not to. So you're just now hoping that you see the truth of this eternal life. Now, God offers us, the Bible says that God offers us a liberty. And this liberty is the freedom that we don't have to be a part of that anymore in our life. Now, and no, that doesn't mean that I'm saying that once you're saved, you're never going to sin again. Because we all sin. Paul said, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. This liberty in Christ doesn't mean that's not going to happen. But this liberty in Christ means that it doesn't have to happen. If we follow after the leadership and the guidance of the indwelling Holy Spirit, when these things begin to come up in our life, the Holy Spirit begins to show us. He begins to lead us. He begins to guide us. And we what? We push Him away. Because we still want to do what we want to do in our life. It's all about self. So, only through the truth of God's Word can we understand or begin to grasp what the love of God is all about. Well, I'll say maybe two times a year, but for most people it's only one time a year. When is the one time a year that, and sinners, not at all, but when is the one time a year that most believers begin to grasp a little bit about what God's love is all about? That's probably when you go to church on Easter. And the preacher's talking about the crucifixion and the resurrection. And then you don't really grasp it. But you're hearing about it. So, but this is something that we should study about. This is something that we should have upon our mind all the time, because this is what encourages us as Christians. This is what helps us to come through a lot of the struggles and the trials and the tribulations and the temptations that are going on in our life. So back in the book of Jeremiah, here's what Jeremiah, he said. He said, book of Jeremiah, chapter 10, verse 10, he says, but the Lord is the true God. He is the living God. He is an everlasting God or King. His wrath, the earth shall tremble, and the nations shall not be able to abide His indignation. The greatness of God's power, even though we try to compare it to lots of other things, it can't be compared to anything else. It can't be compared to anything in the heavens above, the Bible says. It can't be compared to anything within the earth below. Because God alone, meaning God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, that's the eternal sovereign Trinity, the God of the universe. And it's His perfect plan for mankind, for us, every day your life is unfolding. The plan of God is unfolding in your life. There's not one day in your life that goes by that God isn't trying to unfold something new in your life. Now you might say, oh, I've went through the last 6 months and it's been the same old thing every day. Well, that's not God's fault. Because every day in his life, something new. He's trying to do something new. Every day in his life, he's trying to bring us more into the likeness of Christ. If it's not happening in our life, it's because we've chosen not to allow it to happen in our life. Maybe because of some kind of struggles or persecutions, or maybe we just don't want to. I don't know what the case is. Maybe we're lazy. I don't know what the case is. But every day in our life, God wants something to happen. And as we look around at everything that is going on around us in the world, the Bible talks about all these things that are going on around us in the world. He said, nations shall rise up against God. All people will look at one another, and they'll have all these ill feelings towards one another, and everybody's all about themselves. So that means now when we look at our life compared to the world around us, if we allow, Satan will cause that emotional distress that all we see is despair. You turn on the news and you begin to see things. Do you ever watch the news and see anything good in it? No, because we're always looking for that is in despair. But God says we don't have to do that. It looks like, and I know this because when you watch social media, people's always putting stuff on there. Oh, let's pray that God will bring this nation back to where it once was. God doesn't want it where it once was. God wants it move forward. He wants new. He wants more eternal righteousness and glory. But anyhow, when we look at this, it makes it seem like the wickedness of the world is winning the battle, so to speak. God's still in control. Wickedness will never win out over God. So, and we know this because we know that we serve a God that is one day going to destroy the sinful wickedness of this world, because we know that the God that we serve is the only true God. And that's what we have to remind ourselves about. And the only way that we can remind ourselves of this is by studying the Word of God. It all has to come through that. In the 17th chapter of John, again, verse 3, here's what he said. This is what eternal life is all about. This is Christ. He said, "And this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." You want to base your life upon something, here's what he says to base it upon, because this is where your eternal life lies. He says that you might know the only true God and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent, meaning our salvation. So that means eternal life, it's not just something that, and a lot of Christians are doing this, one of these days I'm going to die and I'm going to go on to be with the Lord. And that's good. That's fine with me. I'm happy with that. I'll just abide my time here upon this earth until that happens. Eternal life's more than that. That's not it. Eternal life, which is that free gift of the grace that comes from God, it's given to everyone who will believe. We see that here in chapter 17. And it's given to us for a possession. And most people think that it's a possession that we're one day going to acquire when we leave this earth. But I'm telling you, if you're saved, you've already acquired that possession. Now, do we live like we've acquired a possession of eternal life? No, most of the time we don't. Because I can tell you, when you stand at the back door of the church, and this can be about any church that you go to, and you greet people as you come in the door, and you say, "How are you doing today? It's such a beautiful day." "Well, I'm here. I made it." You don't act like you possess eternal life. I don't know what you act like you possess. That's not eternal life. We don't understand a lot of times as Christians that as being saved, we've already possessed it. It's there. So I'm excited. You know, I'm going to live my life now. And I know that one day when I go on to be with the Lord, it's going to be even greater, but I'm going to live it now like it's now. So people can see what eternal life is all about. Now, you can't know God if you don't have the willingness to know God. That means studying the Word of God, the truth that is written within the Word of God. Because the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, they're one in truth. They're one in purpose. Their purpose is all. There's nothing different in their purpose. There's one in spirit, and they're one in all life. So that means everything that we do in our life within the body of Christ, we all should be the same. We're all looking forward to the same eternal life. We all should have the same purpose. We all should have be following after the same truth of God's Word. And we all should understand that the only one that can make known unto us the truth of God's Word is who? That's right, certainly not me. Is God Himself. You will not get the truth anywhere else. Now, you might hear people talk about the truth, but it has to come from God Himself. And He gives it to anybody who, we're talking about all those who are dead in their trespasses of sin, God will still give them the truth of His Word if they will only freely accept it in their life. So, God has given Christ this power, and so that He might give eternal life to as many, the Bible says, who will receive it. So in the book of 1 John chapter 1, here's what he says. 1 John chapter 1, 3 John chapter 1. Almost read the wrong scripture. That's 2 John. 3 John chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Here's what he said. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth. Now, pay attention to what he said. He said, I rejoice when the who came. Not the sinners. We rejoice when sinners are saved. But he said, I rejoice when the Christian people, the ones that claim to be Christians, he said, I was happy when they came and began to testify of the truth of the Word of God that was in them. And he said, even as thou walkest in the truth. So not only did they testify of the truth, but the way that he saw their testimony of the truth was he saw the works of the truth that was in them. So that means, and we'll try this next Sunday when you come through the door of the church, I'll stand back here and meet everybody. And I'll ask everybody, how are you doing today? What are you going to say?
I'm here.
Yeah, I'm here. I barely made it. Or we're going to be excited so that we can see the works. He said, testify to the truth that is in thee because they were walking in it. Meaning they were living it where people could see it. And he said, I have no greater joy than to hear that the children of God are walking in the truth. Meaning in the truth of God's Word. We can't walk in the truth of God's Word if we're not in the truth of God's Word. If we never read it, if we never study it, if we never meditate upon it. So if you go back into the 8th chapter of John where we started out, and you jump on over into the 36th verse, here's what he says. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Your salvation made you free. But if you don't stay or learn about the truth of your salvation, yes, you're going to one day go on to be with the Lord, but don't you want to experience the freedom of that eternal life now? Wouldn't it be so nice to live within the freedom of that eternal life now instead of allowing all these things to overcome us and to separate, hinder our relationship with God? So, the ones that are without faith in Christ, meaning the sinners, they're bound by that sin. They're still enslaved in it. We're not. We've already accepted the promise that God has given unto us. We no longer have to be controlled by the sinfulness of the world. We no longer have to let the corruptness of the world to overcome us. We have learned and know what it means to be set free in Christ. But the freedom that Christ gives unto us, we have it because of willing obedience to the Word of God. So that means if you want to continue to live in that realm, it has to come with continued obedience to the Word of God. So This means, and I'm going to say, because people remember at the beginning I said humanity wants freedom. So now this means that my salvation gives me the freedom to do what I want to do, but only what I want to do that God desires me to do. But my salvation that gave me the freedom, now I can say I can do what I want to do, because everything that I want to do is what God desires for me to do. There's no more following after selfish worldly desires. It's only following after God's desire for my life. And the only way that we can do this is through the Word of God, through the leadership and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, because that keeps us, that keeps our desire where it needs to be in our freedom in Christ, in our liberty in Christ. So we no longer have to be, when you were a sinner, you were defined by the things that you done. What you done in the flesh, those things defined you. If you talk to people and people say, "Oh, I remember so and so," and "Oh, he wasn't very nice growing up." They say about me all the time. But we're defined by what we done. But now, as Christians, we should be defined by what Christ does through us. And when people begin to see that, then we begin to understand what our salvation is all about, and we begin to understand what kind of love that it took to get us there in our life. And that was the love of God, that He so freely gave us salvation through the death of His Son, who died so that we might have this freedom. So that means, if we are in Christ, then we have allowed God's truth to set us free. And as long as we study and meditate and pray upon the Word of God, then this truth can continue to let us experience that freedom as we live here upon this earth, so that when we meet people, they see the truth of God's Word through our actions and through our works. So, are you part of humanity that wants to be free? We all are. Then the next question would be, are you part of those who have true freedom that can only come through God by the saving grace of Jesus Christ? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful, Lord, for this beautiful day that you've given us. And we're thankful, Lord, that for the encouragement to come out and to be a part of that liberty in Christ that you've given to us, Heavenly Father. And we're just so thankful that we can come, Lord, with our hearts full of joy, expressing that eternal life that we've already accepted and agreed to, and you have instilled within us, Heavenly Father, that we might be able to show, Lord, unto all of those who we come in contact with, Lord, what our salvation truly is all about. It's about the freedom that you've given us, Lord, the freedom from the bondage of the sinfulness of the world, Heavenly Father. And we just pray, Lord, that we would continue in that as we continue, Lord, to pray and to study and to meditate on your Word, Heavenly Father, that we might continually be given up those things that hinder our relationship with you, Heavenly Father, so that we might always be able to experience the joy of our salvation that is instilled within us. We just pray this day, Lord, that as we go out from this place and as we do those things that we pray are pleasing unto Thee, Heavenly Father, that You help us, Lord, to continue to follow after Your leadership and Your guidance, so that we may always be found worthy, so that we may always be allowing our light to shine forth, so that others may see Your goodness within us, Heavenly Father. Forgive us, Lord, where we have sinned and fallen short of your glory. Help us, Lord, not to forget to give you praise, honor, and glory for all things. For in Jesus' name we pray, and amen. Okay, remember Wednesday evening?
Thursday
evening? I get my Bible study nights mixed up. Thursday evening here at this church. If you want to go to Bible study with me at another church, you're more than welcome to come along. Thursday evening, we started last week. We're in Genesis. We're still talking about the entity of Christ. But we've moved to Abraham. And we're kind of following down through the lineage of Abraham. And we're talking, we're going to end up talking about the 12 tribes of Israel, which would be who? Don't say Abraham's sons. Who are they? Be Abraham's sons. So, come out. We're learning a lot. Probably stuff that we have known, but it doesn't hurt to go back and study it and get a little bit of a refresher on it. But it's really interesting. So we invite y'all to come out and be a part of that. Okay, does anybody else have anything? Nope, y'all are quiet.
You're preaching this evening at